You're listening to the Full and Thriving Podcast, a place where courageous women come to break free from food obsession, heal their relationship with their body, and strive to live a life that's present, lighthearted, and meaningful. If you're listening, my wish is that this podcast serves as a catalyst that inspires you to nourish your body, nurture your mind, and energize your spirit. I'm your host, Meg McCabe, a certified life coach and eating disorder recovery coach with a PhD in having a good time. Just kidding about that last part. Anyway, thank you so much for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. How are you? It has been such a long time since I've recorded a solo show, and I am so ready to touch base with all of you in this way today. I am recording this episode all the way from Dublin, Ireland, and it is just so cool to be here. As you guys know, I do have Irish heritage, and I have been taking time to learn about it while I've been here. I even went on a little historical walking tour through the city center this morning, and it was fabulous. And for the first time ever, I've decided to make this episode entirely about personal life updates. And of course, I'll be sure to weave in some recovery wisdom throughout this episode. So I'm calling this show Three Dreams That Have Finally Come True for Me, Thanks to Recovery. And before I dive in expanding upon the dreams of mine that have come true, I want to say that I attribute so much of the joy and peace in my life to my eating disorder recovery journey. This time, 10 to 15 years ago-ish, I was fighting my eating disorder. I was leaning on my eating disorder to feel my sense of self-worth and to numb out some difficult emotions I didn't know how to express or feel. I say this all of the time. After going through recovery, I felt wise beyond my years, and recovery felt like a catalyst to massive internal transformation, so much perspective that I've carried with me throughout my adulthood. And my recovery was a gift. And everything that I am celebrating with you in this episode is a long-term benefit of my eating disorder recovery. Every single day of my life, I have the privilege of doing things my eating disorder wanted to take away from me. And every day, my recovery is a source of confidence that carries me through difficult times in life. So please keep in mind that I share these positive updates because I hope that they inspire you to keep going. And I know that your recovery is going to take you places you can't even see yet. And I truly believe you're going through this for a reason. Without my recovery, I never would have started this podcast. And in fact, I wouldn't have been able to become a recovery coach. And I never in a million years thought I would be doing what I'm doing today. So please let this be a reminder to you that choosing recovery will open doors for you and make your life better. And if anything, I hope this episode inspires you and helps you connect to your why and your big picture for choosing recovery every day. So let's get on with the fun stuff. Let's talk about the dream that has come true recently for me. And that is that I am actually engaged. I can't believe it. If you're following me on Instagram, you may have seen that Dan proposed to me last week in Santorini, and it was an absolutely stunning proposal. And I can't believe that I'm going to be getting married. I think, you know, this time last year, I hadn't started dating Dan yet, and I had no idea what was in store for me over this year. So I can't believe how everything has just transformed so quickly in my life. But anyway, I figured some of you might be interested in how the proposal happened. So I'll let you know that. We rented a little apartment in Ia, which is a little sub section of Santorini, and it is super picturesque. It's like a neighborhood on the island. And we were coming from Lisbon because after the Recovery Collective retreat, Dan met me in Lisbon. We stayed there for a weekend, and then we took the whole week off following the retreat just to vacation and relax together in Greece. And it was such a great decision. I know the retreat was amazing, but I totally needed the break. Dan needed the break, and we couldn't have been happier to be in Greece together. So we had a little apartment in Ia, and it had a private rooftop. And full disclosure, when I tell this story, I will let you know that I saw this proposal coming from a mile away. I know Dan hates to probably hear that, but it is true. We've only been dating for about 8.5 months, but Dan and I are both big dreamers, and we have been talking about starting a future together since January, I would say. And honestly, Dan has trouble keeping secrets. So I knew that he had purchased a ring a few months back. So I was putting the clues together and I was thinking, if it was going to happen, I feel like Dan would do it while we were on vacation in Greece. Anyway, I wasn't exactly sure when he would propose during the week in Greece, but I had a feeling it would happen on the roof because we both wanted something intimate and private. So one night he kind of mentioned he wanted to do something just the two of us, maybe on the roof. So that kind of put a little flag on my radar that the proposal was probably going to happen then. And during sunset, we took a blanket and some wine and snacks, which included prosciutto, cheese, chocolate, crackers, all the things up to the roof. And I would have thought he was going to propose then, but I remember thinking, he's so relaxed. How could he be this relaxed? So I actually started to think, maybe now's not the time. It's probably not going to happen. He actually popped the champagne before proposing. So that really threw me off. I was like, maybe we're just celebrating being in Santorini. So once I let the idea escape me and I relaxed and I was like, oh, the proposal is probably going to happen maybe some other time, that's when we started to talk about the future. And suddenly Dan told me that he wants to start a future with me now, and he proposed, and it was such a beautiful moment. I honestly couldn't be more grateful or happy to have finally found myself with someone who knows exactly what he wants and is just as ready as I am to take the next steps in life together. And when I'm with him, I feel so much inner peace and safety and trust, knowing that he's always going to have my back and put me in our relationship first. And I think that's something that is such a blessing to be able to relax into. So anybody who's listening to this who doesn't feel safety and trust and inner peace in the relationship you're in, I hope you take this as a little nudge and reminder that you might be able to find someone out there who can give you that feeling. Anyway, after Dan proposed, it was really cute because, you know, he puts the ring on my finger. I loved it. It's beautiful. It has one like diamond in the middle with two diamonds on the sides. And oh, it's gorgeous. And it has a gold band, which I love gold. I think it's timeless. All of my jewelry is always gold. I never wear silver. So I was super happy with it. But anyway, sidetracked there for a second. We had a little kitty come up to us almost immediately on the roof looking for the snacks. He must have smelled food. So we fed him some cheese and named him Frank. And we both laughed saying that he was the first one to find out the news of our engagement. So if you saw our Instagram post from the other day announcing the engagement, we added Frank at the end of it. It's just a random cat photo. We didn't provide the explanation on there. Anyway, we stayed on the roof for a long time. We were talking just excitedly about the future. Frank kept coming back for snacks. And then once it became pitch dark outside, we went back to our little apartment to call our friends and family and share the news. I've seriously wanted to be a wife and a mother my entire life, but not just a wife and a mother. I wanted to be married to someone who is loving and thoughtful and patient and kind. And that is exactly the person Dan is. And so it's just so nice. And this future vision for myself was honestly a guiding light for me during recovery. And when I was sick, it's actually funny, guys, think of this. Dan actually had a crush on me in high school during the height of my eating disorder. That's right. We knew each other in high school, and I was pretty much blind to it because I could only focus on losing weight and my eating disorder. I had no brain space for actual dating, and I definitely could not handle any emotions or nerves or anxiety that came from that. Although he expressed interest in high school, I really couldn't manage that because I was so hyper-focused on my eating disorder. So all of you who are stuck in your eating disorder, the love of your life might be in your orbit and your eating disorder could be distracting you from paying attention to that person or noticing that person. So just put that thought in your head. Like when you recover, you have so much more mental space to be present and see the world around you in different eyes that are free from diet culture and weight loss. So anyway, we didn't happen in high school, but we did happen 13 years later when we were both 31. And honestly, by the time I was 31, I had been through so many relationships with ups and downs, and I had recovered from my eating disorder. I was finally present-minded and open enough and valued myself enough to go for the good guy who wants to treat me like a queen. And to be honest, it is absolutely wild to me that Dan and I could have gotten together back in high school, but I wasn't dating anyone except for my eating disorder. Like I was in a hardcore relationship with my eating disorder. The love of my life was right in front of me and I wasn't able to see it. We literally could have been high school sweethearts and had all of these years together, but instead we lost touch for 13 years and it took us so long to find each other again. And it also took a lot of, in my mind, grace, because what are the chances we both move back home around the same time, are single in our 30s, and find each other? Anyway, it all worked out magically, and I'm really thankful for the 13 years we had separately because I grew so much, and I know that he did too, and now we are in the perfect place for each other now. So I'm just so grateful. Thank you to everyone who extended positive sentiments and congratulations and excitement on Instagram when we shared the news. I honestly was blown away by the support of you guys, and I wish I could invite all of you to the wedding, but I don't even know the details of that yet. We haven't started planning, but you'll probably hear details about that down the road. Anyway, so that is the dream of mine. The first dream I have to share with all of you today. But I also have a second dream that has come together thanks to my eating disorder recovery. And that is that I have finally built a thriving eating disorder recovery career and community. And I am so excited about this because, as you know, I'm also coming off of the 5-day recovery collective retreat. And I want to tell you all more about that. So the recovery collective retreat happened in the beginning of June in Portugal. And wow, that retreat was so fun and it was such a rewarding experience for me. It was exciting to see some of my one-on-one coaching clients in person for the first time. And it was also nice to meet some new members of the Recovery Collective and see some veterans who were returning for their second retreat ever in the Valley. We had mixed weather at the retreat this year. Last year, It was a heat wave. It was hot and sunny the whole time. This year, we had about a day and a half of really beautiful weather, and then it became mixed thunderstorms the rest of the time, which actually provided like a nice variation for the week. But one bonus is because the valley was so rainy and wet, the forest fire risk was really low, and we were given permission to do a fire pit the last night. And of course, with the fire pit, all of the Americans were very excited to try s'mores. And for those of you who don't know what a s'more is, it is a camping snack from the United States where you roast a marshmallow and stick it between two graham crackers and a piece of chocolate. It's literally the perfect combination of hot, melty, sweet, and crunchy snack. It might be one of my favorite desserts. I can eat many s'mores in one sitting. And honestly, there was a moment on the retreat that was just hilarious. There were Americans teaching the Europeans how to make some more. Like they did this funny demonstration. And after that, we all listened to music and danced around the fire pit. And I just took a moment and soaked it all in. And it was truly a surreal moment for me because as the founder of the Recovery Collective, I have been through many ups and downs bringing this community into life. I'm telling you, it is not easy. And just being able to see the members of the community laugh and dance and have fun together, it made me feel as if my dream of creating a recovery community has finally been fully realized. I know we're still a younger community, we have several years ahead. But, you know, it's been a very slow burn. And so being able to see how far we've come and even more importantly, the bonds that have formed and being able to see community members who started with our membership in a low place in their eating disorder, be able to say that they're fully recovered now and even be able to see the contrast between the return participants who maybe struggled last year on the retreat, and then this year were almost role models at the retreat who were in a really good place. It was just really fulfilling for me to be able to see their growth, be able to see the friendships that emerged from the retreat, and all the fun that everyone was having. It just is extremely fulfilling for me to see these members become lifelong friends, just due to opening up and being vulnerable with each other about their eating disorders and their personal lives throughout the retreat, but also throughout the year during our online calls. Besides helping people recover, obviously, I think one of my favorite things in life is connecting friends together so that they can have lifelong memories and friendship. I'm starting to call myself a friendship facilitator. And this is probably my new favorite job title. Without recovery, the Recovery Collective wouldn't exist, and this podcast wouldn't exist, and so many friendships wouldn't exist. And I had to choose recovery and stick to it in order for that to happen. And like I said at the beginning of this episode, your eating disorder is happening to you for a reason, and it might as well be a good reason. Let yourself reach recovery so that you can see how all of the lessons will take fruition into your life and manifest into something amazing. Honestly, I wouldn't even be in Europe right now hosting retreats and working remotely if I hadn't gotten my eating disorder and recovered from it. So just remember, after the dark times, there is always the light. And I know that sounds super cliche, but remember, you don't know why you're going through this, but there's got to be a reason. I truly believe that. And I hope that one day you can look back at your life and see how your eating disorder fit into your life and actually evolved you as a human and into the person you were always meant to become. And the third dream of mine that has finally come true thanks to recovery is that I can authentically enjoy food while traveling. And I honestly have
authentically started calling myself a foodie. So yes, I'm officially a foodie, but not in a I'm restricting myself and can't stop thinking about food way, but in a way where food is becoming a true passion of mine. So when I was sick, I used to call myself a foodie, but at the end of the day, I was actually just over-focused on food because I wasn't nourished enough. And I was thinking about food, but it was a way for my body to signal to me that I was hungry. And now I'm honestly embracing food in the best way, and that is through travel. And I know so many of you can relate to this, but after spending the past month in Europe, I'm realizing that food is seriously my favorite part of traveling. And the more I travel, the more I realize how much experiencing new foods from different countries is something I truly look forward to, and it really brightens my life up. And as much as I love a good history tour, I've recently discovered food tours. And this is a really cool thing where a guide takes you to several stops around a city and will tell you about the history of the city through the food and talk about the ingredients and the customs of eating in that place. And after going on the food tour, I end up knowing the food that's locally in season at the moment and what the traditional dishes are and how they're made. And it just sets me up for an amazing trip there for the rest of the week or however long I'm there. If I do the food tour the first full day, I get a good lay of the land with the city. I know what dishes to order for the rest of the trip. And I find it to be the secret to a great week. These food tours usually involve 5 to 7 stops with small bites and drinks at the stops. And when I had my eating disorder, I wouldn't have been able to do this whatsoever without maybe using a behavior to compensate afterwards. And I wouldn't have been able to handle the mental stress around eating so much in one day. However, I can experience a food tour without the guilt or the behaviors, and I can leave the experience now feeling joy and amazement and even passion about what I tried. I'm telling you, I have a list of things I want to try to cook when I get home, including tomato fritters from Greece and Bailey's cheesecake from Ireland. Oh, the list can go on and on. But with the food now, while I'm traveling, I can stay present to learn and taste and feel the experience. And this trip has really inspired me to go home and get more creative with cooking and even create like a recipe book for myself and for Dan, because he loves to cook too. And maybe as a hobby, I might even try to take a cooking class when I get home and just get better, level up my cooking skills. The more I get excited about food, the more I realize that food in itself can be a way to connect with deep pleasure. Food is a form of pleasure, and it is so amazing to be able to connect in it that way. So, experiencing pleasure through flavors and textures and smells and atmosphere, it is just a full-bodied experience that I seek out now. And it has nothing to do with an eating disorder in any way. It's just passion, excitement, recognizing food brings so much pleasure into my life. And trying a new delicious dish feels like a part of the travel adventure for me as a whole. And I know that many folks with eating disorders that travel actually try to avoid the food. And when I talk to them, they really feel like they've missed out and they dream for a day where they can travel and enjoy the food. And I just want to remind all of you that that is 100% possible. And I'm so grateful to my recovery because now I have the opportunity to embrace food freely while I'm traveling and at home and through cooking. And honestly, food is becoming one of my favorite parts of life. I mean, I've always loved food, but I'm realizing that there's an extra passion layer where I'm like, how can I bring this even more into my life? I know I'm an eating disorder recovery coach and I talk about food in a healing way with folks, but what about in a fun, pleasurable way? So I'm just really excited to dive more deep into this foodie side of me that I'm just realizing wants to emerge. So I will definitely be keeping you all posted on what that looks like down the road. But for now, I'm just loving traveling and connecting with pleasure through food. It's like my favorite activity at the moment. And when I get home, I'm going to continue that by seeking out local restaurants and food experiences whenever I get the chance. Okay, so I know I told all of you that this episode was about three dreams that have come true thanks to recovery, but I do want to let you know that I actually have a fourth dream coming true this month. And it's not directly related to my recovery. I can't take credit for it, but my recovery will amplify this experience. And that is that I'm becoming an auntie to a little baby girl at the end of July. And although I can't say that this is happening because of me, obviously, I can say that because of my recovery, I'll be able to be so present for my niece, and I will be in an even better place to be a role model for her when it comes to food and body as she grows up. And I hope I can build her confidence and teach her to feel good in her own skin. I am honestly so ready and excited to be an auntie. As you know, many of my friends had kids in the past year. I've been around babies all year, but to be able to be around a baby that's related to me, who is the daughter of my twin sister, it's going to be absolutely wild. And I can't wait to see my sister become a mom. And just remember, my sister had an eating disorder too. So without her recovery, she wouldn't be able to become a mom, and I wouldn't be becoming an auntie this July. So we are just all so excited and so grateful. And I will absolutely keep you posted on my journey to becoming an aunt and being an auntie as it all unfolds within the next year. So there is so much for me to look forward to. Today is my last day in Europe as I'm recording this. Dan and I are traveling home. And as sad as I am to be ending our trip where we're vacationing and also working remotely and seeing new things, I am thrilled to be going home, reconnecting with all of you, getting back into the groove of work, and getting back into starting a life with Dan and connecting with my friends and family and just planning for the future. I'm like so excited to just dive right back into normal life. And I can't say that's how I feel after every trip, but there's just so many exciting things going on in my life right now. And I'm so grateful that I get the chance to share it all with you. So, all right, everyone, that's it for this episode. And as always, I just want to say that I am so grateful to have all of you listening to my podcast. And I'm also grateful to have a community that celebrates my life whenever something positive happens to me. It means so much to me as someone who is in the field of supporting others. It feels so rewarding when the people I support me in return. So thank you to everyone who has reached out to congratulate me about the good news. And I hope that this episode has inspired you to keep moving forward in your recovery and to remember that there is always light after darkness. And sometimes there is purpose in the darkness you're currently experiencing. And what you're going through now is meant to build you up and transform you into what you're meant to be down the road. So keep working hard, keep taking action when you can. Keep resting when you can. Sit with all of the discomfort that recovery brings and treat yourself with all of the compassion that you give to others. Have the courage and give yourself permission to treat yourself with the same amount of compassion that you give to the world. I know so many of you are so empathetic, so compassionate, so loving, so kind, so supportive. Like I said, I was overwhelmed by the response of all of this good news from all of you. And it just shows me that you all have so much love to give the world. And I want you to give yourself permission to give that love and compassion back to yourself. So you can do this, my friends. You can do hard things. And side note, if you are in need of a recovery coach, I have a few openings coming up for July and August. So please take a moment to head on to my website or go to the links in the show notes to apply to work with me one-on-one. I love doing one-on-one coaching, and I especially love it when I can work with the podcast listeners because I know that you guys resonate with my coaching and how I teach and how I help guide people through recovery. So please do not hesitate to reach out. Now is the best opportunity for you to work with me one-on-one this summer into the fall. So anyway, again, thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I will see you all next time on the Full and Thriving podcast.
All right, that concludes this week's episode of the Full and Thriving podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of the show. When you have a moment, please head on over to Instagram and follow my recovery coaching account at Meg_McCabe to stay up to date on everything I'm doing in recovery land. And if you're feeling extra inspired, please send me a direct message to let me know how this podcast has impacted your life. I'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next week.